From August 21st to 23rd, the first ever Peace and Friendship Gathering was held at the Six Nations Iroquois Reserve in southern Ontario. The gathering, which is organized by the Men's Fire of Six Nations, was planned to honor the long struggle for survival by people from that territory, but also to honor the support which they have received throughout the years from non-Native people. On February 28, 2006, a group of Native women began a peaceful occupation of a home development site known as the Douglas Creek Estates on Six Nations land. The occupation was widely supported by community members of Six Nations and led to the successful stopping of housing development on Native lands, despite a brutal attack by the Ontario Provincial Police on Native protesters in April 2006. To this day, the people of Six Nations have succeeded in stopping the Douglas Creek Estates development on their land and many other development sites on Six Nations territory. The Peace and Friendship Gathering brought together hundreds of participants, Native and non-Native, to enjoy workshops, panel discussions, Iroquois ceremonies, and music. These are some of the sounds from that gathering, held on the banks of the Grand River in Six Nations territory.
We have a hard enough time holding our children up as we do now. I couldn't see that happening. And under our great law, it is the women's job not only to protect the land, but to protect the children for the next seven generations. And to see this destruction, not only of our land, but our nation, our children, we couldn't see that happen anymore. So this group of ladies, we got together. There was actually quite a few of us when we went in. There was 10 of us that went in that morning. And we took over Gatestado, and we never left. And that's the first time in Canadian history that a nation has taken them on, went to war with them, defeated them, and has held them back. It's been over 2 years now that we've went in. They declared war on us.
And they said our people are not allowed to demonstrate or to stop construction on the on our lands, the destruction of our lands. Prior to that, there was Ruby and Floyd Montour, some elders from our community. They were going out. They threatened to bring the army in on them. So I decided right when that came out, I looked at the calendar and I says, I gotta decide when I'm gonna do this, because I have to stand. And when I looked at the calendar, I says, well, not this weekend. I says, I'm going out for somebody's birthday on this weekend. That's the 4th. And as I looked the next weekend, and there's the 11th of July, and I remember that date because that's back in 90. That's when they launched an attack on one of our territories, Gunasadagi, Oka. And so I guess to kind of honor that, I kind of chose that date. We went in about 3:30 in the morning, and we just parked the trucks right in the laneway. And when they came there, we said, no, you're not gonna go in. And everything that I've done peacefully. I sat there and I just told them no. And they came and they said, the cops came to me and they says, well, what if we just try to take you off? I says, you can probably take me off. I says, there's only 5 of us. I says, but you know what? I says, it might just piss my people off. There might be 500 here. I says, would you prefer, yeah?
Amongst the gathering speakers was former political prisoner Bob Lovelace, who was recently imprisoned for defending Algonquin land from uranium extraction in the Ottawa Valley.
Indigenous law in Canada forms part of the common law of Canada. And Judge Cunningham, the Superior Court in Kingston, in my sentencing, rejected that. When he sentenced me, I can remember his words very clearly. He said, there's only one law, and that's the law of Canada, and that's the law of this court. And when I made that injunction, that's the only law that we recognize in Canada. What was interesting was that the Appellate Court of Ontario said that's not true. That's not true. Sarah Dover, where is she? She raised the point. She said, in Osgoode Hall, there's a window, there's a stained glass window in this building, and it says that the Canadian law is made up of English common law, it's made up of French civil code, and it's made up of the Aboriginal or Indigenous customary law. And she said, if you don't believe that, and if you find in some other way, hire some workmen and have that window removed from the building. And that's exactly what the appellate court upheld. They said that, you know, the court should have taken our customary law into consideration in terms of my sentencing. I think that's really important for Indigenous communities to really pay attention to their own laws, to be certain, to be sure of, and to understand and uphold their own laws. We can work within Canadian courts, but we also very much have to know the reality of our own laws.
And my message for you is, I hear so many times, what can we do? What can we do to help you? It's not you that we have the fight with. It never has been. From the moment that you got here, we have welcomed you. We have shared everything that we've had. It is with your government that we have the fight, the same government that you have the fight with. So if you want to know what to do, stand up. Because the government is supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people, not on top of the people. You are the people. You are the government.
This report was produced by CKUT's Aaron Lakoff with music from the Six Nations Women's Singers.